All right, we're here, and just FYI, if we sound like a little cracked right now, that's because we just finished watching the Knot fight of the year. Like we were up till, honestly, I don't even know how long we were up till watching it.
Thank you, Central Time.
Yeah, thank you, Central Time, and also, can we? You know what? It's time. No, actually, it's time. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Because firstly, I have so many things to cover. Because yeah, just FYI, this is an episode on Obito Uchiha, the third in our series on Max Villains. But before we get to that, we need to talk about Netflix.
Yes.
Because what was that, Netflix? What was that? This is the second time y'all fumbled on the live streams.
Indeed.
Y'all need to wrap it up. You should know that with live streams, right? You know, especially with high tier events, you know everybody gonna be watching. So your servers need to be on 10.
Yes.
But instead, what did we get? Your servers was on a 2. A 2 at the least. Wanna know why? Because of the fact that more than half of us, we couldn't even watch the title fight.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't watch Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. We couldn't watch it on your stream because of the fact it kept crashing.
And it was grainy for some people. It wasn't really grainy for me, but for some people, it was like you can't. It was like all pixels.
Oh, yeah. That was me, too, because of the fact, like, leading up to the fight, like, I was watching two of the exhibition matches. Everything was going good until the second exhibition match in which, yeah, as you mentioned, quality went down. To where it was at least like 360p. It looked like I was watching it off my phone from back in 2014 from old school YouTube. And then we had, yeah, and that, the buffering / load times were horrendous, and it just kept getting longer to the point where eventually it just shut off my Netflix altogether. It was like, oh, yeah, you're experiencing issues with your internet connection. It tried to gaslight me into saying my internet connection was trash. Huh? Nah. So
dude,
you want to know what I had to do in order to watch the Mike Tyson fight?
What?
I had to go on TikTok Live, because I knew somebody who would be watching it and probably could be watching it would be live streaming it on TikTok. That's down deplorable. Okay? I didn't even need Netflix at that point. As a matter of fact, give me my money back.
For streaming services. You know what's crazy is that, again, yeah, you mentioned it, because I know the Love is Blind reunion crashed.
Well,
but the thing is that Netflix is going to be airing 2 NFL games on Christmas this year. NFL gets a lot of like traffic, so a lot of people are going to be like connecting to it. So I don't really understand, especially with this fight, you knew a lot of traffic was going to be on your website, especially since like this was something that was marketed, and they definitely dropped a lot of bags to a lot of different people and said, hey, let's pretend for a moment that we don't know what this is and that this is going to be a quote unquote fight. So like that was crazy. And then also something that's really big and important is that starting in January, they get Monday Night Raw, which is going to air live. So you can't be having those connection issues, because you're going to get like at least 1 million to 1.5 million minimum of people trying to watch Raw live streaming it. So like if you haven't those issues, which is like we talked about like the tiers of streaming, and obviously Netflix is king, but I mean like Peacock, YouTube TV, and others are like really good at streaming live stuff. But I don't understand like why Netflix, of all things, they should have been doing more of a ramping up period for it, because I feel like their live streams are just not like hitting, unless it's like something that's very low promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know it's terrible that is the fact that literally everyone on the internet is agreeing right now. Because I can't imagine how many people were not able to watch the fight on Netflix. Because you said like at least 1.5 million. I'm speculating probably at least like 800,000 people couldn't watch the fight.
Probably.
Because of just how terrible the connection was. And as you mentioned, this ain't the first time, because the Love is Blind reunion, like that was their first time ever live streaming. And what ended up happening? Crash. And how long ago was that? Like at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely had like 1 or 2 years of time to fix it. And of course they didn't. So that definitely should let you know that they cooked on that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, all I have to say is if y'all don't get it together by Christmas, y'all might need to just wrap it up.
I just looked at the numbers. An average NFL game viewership is like 18 to 20 million people.
Yeah, wrap it up.
Christmas is on a Wednesday. There's only two games, and I'm pretty sure they're going to space it out. Obviously, you kind of compete with the NBA, but, you know, NFL is king. That's going to be like at least 30 million people trying to watch this. So,
y'all cooked. It's wraps.
All right. So let's get to more destruction with it. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech and Meese presents
Blurred City Podcast.
Before we went on that necessary tangent about, I don't know how like these sites can't handle trafficking in the year 2024 of our Lord, but you know what? Legal Spiegel.
Purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by the respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is surely advised. Good heavens.
So, as Meech mentioned, we are doing our mass character study series. So, we started with Dr. Doom, who was like the first one of the major mass character villains of all time. Then we go to Darth Vader, arguably one of the greatest villains of all time. Then we have today Obito Uchiha, who also donned a mask. So this is going to be our final step in it. So we've just kind of been progressing through with character studies, just like backgrounds, stories, philosophies, what shaped these characters. So we kind of broke down every character. You know, with Doom and Vader, the connection, I was kind of like, I feel like there are some, but it's not strong. But then when I got to Obito, I was like, oh, okay, connects to Vader. Okay, connects to Doom in this way. So I'm definitely interested to just kind of like go through his story, background, and how that wraps up.
Yep. As you see, this is why you got to trust me, because I be locking in. I know what I be talking about when I say these connections. Come on now.
All right. So with that, we are going to get into our character study of Obito Uchiha, also known as Tobi, also known as quote-unquote Madara Uchiha. So with that, do you want to kind of touch on the ties to Doom and Vader just because of how we like framed this trilogy of episodes?
Oh, yeah. So the ties to Doom and Vader are, as you mentioned, numerous, especially on the Vader side of it, considering the fact like, oh, yeah, Toby's like a masked villain, started off as a hero, lost their way due to manipulations of a more evil figure, caused untold havoc to the main character and the world at large, to where he basically became public villain number one, and even redeems himself to sacrifice himself for the hero. And there's so much more in that, which we definitely can talk about as we're going over Obito's story. Because as a matter of fact, I'll be like, all right, I'll say like, you mentioned like a certain part of the story, and I'll go, Vader, ding.
Exactly. Yeah, so when I was definitely going through the rundown, I was like, dang, that's a lot of connections with it. So kind of just like touching on it, are we going to touch on it the way his life went chronologically, or kind of how the story was told? I think if we do it chronologically, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
But what were you thinking? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so like, we'd do it the same way we did the other two, because we know Darth Vader's story wasn't told linearly.
That is true. All right. So with that, we start with Obito Uchiha's kind of just like birth connection. Younger days, I guess the best way to start is just like, he is a part of Team Minato, which has very heavy parallels to Team 7. So with that, it was him, Kakashi, and then Rin Nahara, and then also their mentor being Minato, the fourth Hokage. So just kind of like that connection, and you're seeing it. Obviously, it's very interesting because Obito's story is more told in Shippuden rather than Naruto. So with that, it's kind of like, but his impact has such a profound impact on Naruto and other characters.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I want to touch on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because of the fact, like, when you say parallels to Team 7, like, literally, you just took Team 7, just give them a new coat of paint, and then that's basically Team Minato. Because, yeah, Kakashi was Sasuke, being the aloof, always perpetually serious member. Rin and Sakura were the same because, you know, they're the girls of the group, and but one was infinitely more useful in the long run. And then you got Minato, who was the old Kakashi, being like the mentor, being kind of the funny guy, like being the prodigy, you know, being the mentor, like, oh snap, you got him as your mentor? And he's racking up bodies. And then finally we got Obito and Naruto, both hot-headed, ambitious people who were considered to be like the lower end of their respective people, you know, Obito being like, you know, a low run member of the Uchiha clan, like he couldn't even activate his Sharingan yet. And then Naruto not even being able to cast a simple shadow clone jutsu before learning how to do the multiple shadow clone jutsu and saying, screw all y'all, I'm him. So yeah, it's like, and also like both of them like have ambitions of becoming Hokage. Both of them are more likely to go out of their way to help people. And as you mentioned, like we learn more about Obito in Shippuden, but as we keep going, you see like how his life affected all the characters and regular Naruto. So yes, and also another big thing about Obito is just the fact like he, just like Team 7, right, he has a crush on the girl, aka Rin, just like Naruto had a crush on Sakura, but that same girl has like a crush on the third member of the group, aka Kakashi slash Sasuke, and also he has like a pretty major rivalry with said aloof member, because he's like, well, first he was like, oh, it's because you think you're better than me. And it also is like, oh, it's because of that, like, hey, you got the affections of my girl, man.
And then something interesting to think about is that it kind of flips in a sense where we'll get much more in depth later, but where it's like Obito becomes the Sasuke character where it's like, yo, I'm gone. I'm not who I used to be. I'm going to like go on my own path. And then to an extent, Kakashi is like, he becomes the Naruto character where it's like, yo, I'm really trying to connect with my friend. Although there is a period of time where he wasn't aware of him, but you can see those parallels in Shippuden when it becomes more clear with that. So again, like you mentioned, they have a growing resentment towards each other just because, again, prodigy. And then this was before, you know, the Uchihas were like completely wiped out. And it's just like, oh, you're living off your name. It's like, oh, there's a whole bunch of Uchihas. Like, you're a nothing burger. So kind of also with that, they also have the bell test, which is something what Kakashi uses later that we see like at the start of the actual first Naruto series. So with that, again, Tobi isn't, you know, spectacular, but he also is able to connect in that way of like, hey, we can't leave our team members behind. And that like also has an impact on Kakashi later on. So I believe we can transition to there.
Yeah.
In this time period, there's the backdrop of the third Shinobi War.
Ooh, yeah. And it was before we get to the current war. It was touted as one of the longest, bloodiest, the most brutal war, which left no one who was in it unscathed.
Yep.
And everyone was changed by it. And also, again, parallel number two for Vader, because like, oh yeah, we got like a hot-headed, ambitious child, and then you also get a backdrop of a whole war that somebody who's at his age is completely not emotionally mature enough to be a part of.
That's a great point. I didn't think of.
Yeah, and also the fact like, hey, this war will change this person for the worse. So Team Minato, of course, like they're kind of like on the front lines because Minato is him. So like Minato can one-handedly kill everybody, everybody in his path. So his rest of the team, like, they're going on their own separate mission. So, of course, Minato wasn't there for this, but they get ambushed. Obito managed to finally awaken his Sharingan, but then, like, as he's doing so and he's fighting much more competently, Kakashi loses his eye in the fight, and they end up fighting together. Rin gets kidnapped, so the two of them had to put their rivalry aside to go help rescue their teammate. And then, from there, we get to the final fight in which Rin gets rescued. However, before I even get to that, there was a moment where Kakashi was like, he was going to leave Rin behind in order to go complete the mission. But Obito has to knock some sense into him, saying like, hey, those who don't follow the rules are garbage, but those who abandon their friends are worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, this line actually sticks with Kakashi all the way to adulthood. So that's kind of like your first instance, like, hey, Obito changing somebody for the better, a la Anakin changing Obi-Wan for the better. Ding. Okay, that one was a little bit more nebulous. I'll even say that. But essentially, it comes the moment where they rescue Rin, but then the cave they were in was starting to collapse. So Obito managed to push Kakashi out of the way, and therefore getting his, like, the right half of his body completely crushed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You good?
And, yeah, just with that, a little bit of more backdrop. With that, they kind of also tell the story of, like, Kakashi continues to level up more than Obito. Like, he becomes, Kakashi becomes a Chunin first. Then Obito manages to catch up because he loses to my guy, because guy is him. As we learn in the final fight, then Kakashi becomes a Jonin once Tobi becomes a Chunin. So it's just kind of like leveling up. There was a moment where it's like Rin and Minato give Kakashi gifts, but Obito, quote unquote, forgets to like give him a gift. So that's kind of like showing the tension between them. And like you mentioned, the whole can't leave friends behind aspect, which again ties into the bell test. So with that, we get to the point where we learn that he gets taken in by an elderly Madara who is holding on by the fate of God.
Oh, yeah, because, and also don't forget that, like, in this moment, like, of course, like, yeah, half of his body's crushed, mm-hmm. and Obito's like, hey, I'm about to die, and I didn't get you this gift.
Exactly.
So my gift to you is the Sharingan that's not completely crushed by this rock right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, that's my gift to you, and then, like, they do the eye transplant, and then, Kakashi and Rin leave. Of course, by this point, that gives Kakashi his Sharingan, and of course, now he's able to do his Chidori much more effectively, and Obito gets crushed, where, again, he gets saved by Madara, who is barely alive, a la Palpatine in Rise of Skywalker.
You actually mentioned that for once.
I know. That's the only reference I'm ever going to give to that. so, yeah, because of... And then that's when he starts, of course, like, he wakes up, the right half of his body, like, gets repaired by Zetsu, but he's more disfigured. He got, like, scarring on that side of his face now. And also, again, he doesn't have his left eye. So of course, like, that's completely, like, bandaged up. And also, like, and then I've got, of course, like, he didn't have, like, a regular arm, like, right side of his body, so it's, like, all plant-like and yeah. Hashirama cells.
Exactly, yeah.
And Hashirama cells, so it's, like, wood / malleable, whatever. But that's when Madara starts getting into his ear, a la Palpatine getting into Anakin's, where he's telling, like, hey, you know, listen, I know you're a young Uchiha, my boy, but just know that this world is completely trash. You gotta wake up to reality, and also just gotta wake up to reality. I know, like, hey, this world is completely done. It's nothing but war, segregation, hatred. Like, slowly whispering just his philosophy, and over time, like, you start seeing, like, hey, because Obito, like, of course, keeps vehemently denying this. Yeah. And it's like, because he's still, like, his full optimistic self. He's like, hey, I'm going to, like, get out of here, reunite with my friends, because I know Minato is perhaps, like, running himself ragged, trying to look for me. Like, I will be, like, I'll be there. Of course, by this time, they created, like, a whole memorial for Obito and create a whole Obito memorial for him. Like, hey, one of the fallen ninjas on a t-shirt, RIP. But, yeah, and then we get, like, perhaps the moment that completely changes Obito.
Yes. So with that, again, the third Great Ninja War is still continuing on. And essentially, he gets information that, hey, Ren and Kakashi are both in trouble. So with that, he's like, hey, Madara, I'm gonna help them. It's been good, my guy. I'm gonna head out. We won't see each other again. And then, unfortunately, this is when he witnesses Kakashi killing Ren with the lightning blade. He uses lightning blade. So with that, there's no context to it when he sees her die. So it's just kind of like, oh, my quote unquote best friend just killed the woman that I loved.
After he promised that, like, that he will keep her safe.
Absolutely. And so if you take it, it's similar, not the same, but similar to the moment where Anakin sees Obi-Wan with Padme, where it's just like, what is going on right now? That's like, you hear the break in their soul occurring. So with that, both of their Mangekyo Sharingans awaken at that point in time. Kakashi eventually, I believe he faints. Yeah, he faints because of it. Because, like, again, he's not a Uchiha, so he shouldn't really be awakening it like that. This man goes crazy. Wipes out the entire like evil ninja force. And then it's just like similar to that. He's like holding Ren in his arm. He's like, yo, this is the woman I loved. I wish I could have told you XYZ, you know, bump Kakashi. And then he like comes right back to Madara.
And he also says, like, he's right. This is not real. This world is hell.
And Madara has open arms. He's like, welcome, my guy. Time for that infinite Tsukuyomi. So similar to parallels with both Vader and Doom, in a sense, where we bring in Doom, is that with all of them, they suffered great loss. So Doom with his mom, I know, like, later on, you mentioned that he sacrificed the loved one. So I don't know how much we want to, like, give like credence to that. But losing his mom, then obviously, like, disfiguring his face. We have Anakin / Vader, where it's just like he loses Padme, loses his mom, loses Qui-Gon Jinn. Again, the backdrop of a war. Obi-Wan gives him that work. He's disfigured. Has to, you know, have the Vader suit as life support, essentially. And then we get to Obito Uchiha, again, crushed by a boulder, having to be rebuilt. At this point, he doesn't wear masks later on. He eventually, like, adopts the mask and stuff like that. But then he loses Ren. And with that, again, and then it's a war going on. So it's like you see that great loss tends to change people. And we did a philosophy of pain story character study series. So we covered Eren Yeager, which is, yeah, Eren Yeager, Pain / Nagato from the Naruto series, and then also Scar from Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. And what's crazy and different between those characters and these characters is that those characters suffered loss on a greater scale, which included, like, loved ones. Like, Eren thought he was the last of humanity, lost his people. Scar lost, like, his people got wiped out by a genocide. And then also just, like, Pain, he lost his entire village. And then, like, obviously his best friend. But with these, it's so much more intimate. And then it changed them to such a great degree, which, again, shows grief.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, another parallel is that all three of them start off with the best of intentions until the moment, as you said, till the loss happens in which they fully snap. And with that, it's like, of course, like, from there, like, they, of course, go on that diverging path, which leads them to cross to making all the moves necessary in order to run across the hero.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, with Obito now fully drinking the juice of drinking the Madara juice, or the Madara Kool-Aid,
yeah,
or the infinite Kool-Aid. He's like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Madara dies, and thus he implants the Rinnegan that Madara had into a newborn Nagato. It's like, all right, I'm going to use this child. And of course, like, as he grows up, we gonna groom him into basically like working with us.
Mm-hmm.
Which of course, as we mentioned in the Pain episode, like after the loss of Yahiko, like that's when he works with Toby,
mm-hmm.
in order to like, all right, we gonna get peace by any means necessary. And Obito is like, because at this point, Obito, he fully embraces Madara's identity. He's like, yeah, I am Madara Uchiha. I am Himothy. I am the ghost of the Uchiha. And
it's also crazy that the part that he played in Yahiko's death.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, he is the reason Yahiko, that's why I say he grooms Nagato, because of the fact that, like, hey, he sets everything in motion so that Pain will go into evil. Almost similar to how Madara supposedly set everything in motion for Obito to go evil. Generational trauma, everybody. Just like how Vader causes generational trauma to everybody he meets. But yes, now we get to what I refer to as the first true Obi-Wan moment, where he kills the mentor figure.
Ooh.
Where, all right, so, and mind you, at this point, Obito's like 14 years old. I'm just saying that, like, when he kills Minato, or when Minato dies, he's like 14 years old.
The age in these shows is crazy.
Yeah, like, this dude looked like a full-grown man. Yeah, he's 14. All right, so what happens is that Minato's wife, Kushina, she's pregnant with Naruto's about to give birth, but then she's also the Jinchuriki of the Nine-Tailed Fox. And of course, like, her being pregnant, about to give birth, causes the seal to weaken. And as soon as Naruto's born, that's when Obito decides to pull up. He's like, hey, I got your baby. I'm taking your wife. You got to pick and choose which one to save. Of course, Minato saves Naruto. And that leads Obito to be able to kidnap Kushina, because his Sharingan allows him to travel through the Kamui dimension. So of course he does that. He releases the Nine-Tailed Fox from her, has it under his control, and goes on a rampage throughout Konoha, which proves that, like, hey, he's like, all right, none of this is real. And like, he has a full nihilistic view of everything,
mm-hmm.
to where he's attacking, like, his own village. And mind you, the Uchiha at this point, they were okay, but they were like on the outskirts. After this incident, the Uchiha are considered the pariah.
The Eldians.
Yes, they are the Eldians of Naruto at this, because of what Obito does. So
crazy.
Yes, like, cause again, like, he takes her to Ninetales. Ninetales go on a rampage, and then Minato fights Obito, to where he gets completely worked by. He got completely worked by Minato. He's like, oh, dang, I got taken out by my master. That's crazy. But yeah, so he disappears, which lets the Ninetales like completely free to go completely feral. And Minato and Kushina ends up dying as a result, while transporting half of the Ninetales into Naruto, setting in motion the events of the Naruto series.
So this is like, when I was like reviewing it, I was like, Obito, or you can credit it to moderate, however you want to do it, like, this is Aizen level, I set your whole life on the path that it went before you were even born. Because again, like, leading into this, you know, again, that you described Naruto, like, the path of him now becoming Jinchuriki, losing his parents, and then, you know, third Hokage being trash. And then with the Uchihas, if we're still going along, like, the kind of, like, chronologically, with them being under suspicion, this leads to them, like, hey, we're going to do a coup d'etat. We're the most powerful clan. Why are they treating us like this? Itachi kind of learns of it. And then in this moment, Obito approaches Itachi, and he's like, hey, I'm quote-unquote Madara. With that, they treated me like trash. We got to stop this from happening. The Uchiha are corrupt or whatever. And that leads to the massacre of the Uchihas, which sets Sasuke on his path.
Yes, like, I even put it, like, in our notes, like, yeah, the Uchiha massacre is completely insane because Madara has, or should I say, Obito, deliberately takes part in the massacre. Like, it wasn't just Itachi who killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was Itachi and Obito who killed the rest of his whole clan.
Insane.
That lets you know this man is gone. Like, he's murdering his own village. He's murdering his own people. I don't know. Yep, he's taking knives and he's taking lives.
And this is before the Naruto series even starts.
Yes, this is still background information we learned in Shippuden. Which, speaking of, let's get to that, because at this point, he's, of course, like, fully in the background. Like, you don't see hide nor hair of him, but you know he's making moves. Like, helping take out, like, different Jinchuriki. And at this point, he goes by a different name. Toby acts like a complete and total hamstring goofball with Deidara. And in my opinion, I'm like, no. This is, like, Toby is literally, like, what Obito probably would have been had he not gone down this set of darkness. That's my headcanon. He acting like how he probably would have acted, like, at that moment in time if he was still in the Leaf Village.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a complete and total goofball, but still absurdly powerful to where, like, oh, yeah, I'm still able to cause work. Mm-hmm. Y'all just won't know it.
Yes.
And, oh, yeah, what?
I was just going to say, because it's a lot of it is told through backstory, and then some of it is, like, pure manga, some of it is, like, light novels. He actually, like, individually recruits a lot of the Akatsuki members, and a lot of the Akatsuki members, quote-unquote, know who he is, or at least know that he's more serious than what he's presenting, because I believe, Kisame knows who he is, Nagato knows who he is, by extension,
Konan?
Yeah, yep. Konan knows who he is. Itachi knows who he is.
Zetsu?
Yeah, obviously Zetsu knows. So that's, like, at least, like, almost half the Akatsuki know that he is more serious than that and can, like, actually put in work if needed.
Yep, and of course this leads to a moment where he takes out the three tails, and he's more melancholy when he does so, because at this point he learns, like, hey, the three tails is what was put in Rin, and that's why Kakashi had to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So, or more like, that's why Rin throws herself into Kakashi's lightning blade, and kills herself. But so, yeah, he's a little more melancholy there, but like, you see, like, his moments of, like, yeah, his melancholy, you see the real him come out, but you see the Madara in him come out around the time Sasuke kills Itachi. He's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. This was all according to plan. I'm like, it's like, in that moment in the dub, I'm like, whoa, where'd that voice switch come from?
I recall there's, like, a little part before where he pretends to get clapped by Sasuke with him and Deidara. I know it's, like, a minor part, but yeah, when we actually see quote-unquote Madara comes out, it's, like, right after Sasuke kills Itachi, which is insane.
Yep, and then he leaves the group, like the Naruto group, because he was there basically to distract them and keep them from getting to Sasuke.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he gets word, like, Sasuke did what he had to, he's like, all right, bet. It's time to execute the next part of my plan.
Insane.
Teleports to Sasuke, saves his life, and then that's when he starts pulling the Madara on him. It's like, hey, let me tell you something about your brother. He actually saved your life. Because he was ordered by the Leaf Village to murder all of the Uchiha. And Konoha is the reason that your life sucked. So, and that set Sasuke fully off the deep end. He's like, all right, I'm going to get revenge on the Leaf Village and kill everyone.
But it's funny because, as most corrupt mentors do, they reveal the truth out of context. Because, again, Obito was the one that set the Ninetales loose on the village, which then turned suspicion on the Uchiha. So if he doesn't do that, maybe the Uchiha get to a point where they're pushed out even more. but not to the point where they get completely wiped out. So kind of like you mentioned, Konoha is now, you know, enemy number one, which is really interesting because at that stage, I really like wonder, Sasuke killed Orochimaru and then he killed Itachi. So those were the two people that essentially were like, yo, y'all two gotta die. So I wonder, like, if he, like, if Obito wouldn't have been there, would Sasuke, maybe it would have been a bit too late to come back, but would he be like, okay, I'm good now, I got my revenge?
So yeah, that's the key things. Like some people, of course, there's different like fan stories about it. Like some say like, oh yeah, Sasuke, he just goes off on his own, like Lone Wanderer, and he's like, all right, I got my revenge. Time for me to go sit on the sunset. And then there's some where it's like, hey, he fully returns back to the Leave It. It's like, hey, I completed what I need to do. Good luck. And then also somewhere, like, again, he goes off the deep end, which it turns out to be canon.
Because at that stage, he didn't do anything that was, like, completely unforgivable against Konoha. So that's very interesting to think about before, you know, we go to the next part of Obito.
Oh, yeah. So, as I said, like, he basically gets Sasuke and his group go after Killer B, which was a horrible plan because hey, Seven Sword style, and also again, it's a brother. He locked in.
Ooh, that was a butt.
he was locked in, but then he's like, okay, I can recover from this whooping. Sasuke, we pulling up on the. Oh, wait, what, did he pull up? No, he pulled up before that. So before he pulls up on the Kage Summit, he pulls up on Naruto.
Yes.
And, like, had, like, Naruto sleeping in a hotel, and then you see Obito just sitting in the window, like, hey, what up, Ninetales? We gotta talk. And he's like, hey, yo! And then he's like, hey, yeah, I got your boy Sasuke. Oh, yeah, he's going off the deep end. Yeah, I'm about to sick him on the five great shinobis. We're going to cause a new war. Oh, yeah, we're going to need your Ninetales, my guy. So come here. And then, of course, Yamato and Kakashi, they pull up. So they were able to kind of keep Naruto from, you know, getting taken out right then and there.
Yeah.
But also this point, like pretty much actually it ends up causing Naruto to like have a full blown panic attack.
Crash out.
Yes. Blue screen of death. That's what he had because of the fact like, hey, this person who he'd been trying to save for years, his friend is now like public enemy number one because he went and tried to take out Killer B,
mm-hmm.
which puts him on the Raikage's path. So yeah.
Yes.
Now, like, pull up.
It's like we mentioned where it was like, I know this isn't a Sasuke thing. We'll probably end up having to, I was thinking we have to do an Uchiha character study of Madara, Itachi, and Sasuke. But just like kind of with that, like him pulling up and Naruto being like, yo, everyone told me to just like leave you alone. And I fought so hard for you. And you haven't done anything that I can't pull you back from. And then now at this stage, because of Obito's manipulation, it's like, yo, again, the pull-up scene.
Yep. And now he pulls up in the five great shinobi conference, and he's just the biggest hype man or the biggest instigator. No, he just instigates the entire time he's there because, like, he doesn't need to fight. He doesn't even fight at all at this moment. He's just like, oh, yeah, I'm here. Oh, yeah, meet another member of the Uchiha clan, Sasuke. He's here to take y'all out. Oh yeah, Danzo, hey, give me Shisui's Sharingan, my guy. And then also he declares like, oh yeah. And then afterwards, whole shenanigans happens. Folks is getting taken out left and right. Sasuke would have died. Danzo definitely does die.
Yeah.
Before, Danzo destroys the Shisui Sharingan eye. Dang. Yeah, so there's that. And then Obito, like, he declares the fourth great shinobi war.
Mm-hmm.
To which, at that point, he's like, all right, in order to prepare for this war, I need the Rinnegan.
Yes.
So he goes and pulls up on Konoha. It's like, hey.
We got to get to the part before that first with Kabuto.
Wait, which part with Kabuto?
When he pulls, when Kabuto pulls up on him and he's like, "Hey, recruit me to it."
Oh,
quote unquote Madara, if that's who you really are. And then Obito is like, "Nah, I don't need you like that." And then he pulls up the jutsu, and he's like, "You really?"
No, it was after that. No, it was after that because
I thought it was before because like he brought Kabuto to the base, and then that's when Conan was like, "What are you doing?" or something like that. It's right around the time.
Yeah, it's right around the time, but no, it's after that because remember, Kabuto resurrects Nagato, but by this point, he'd already have the Rinnegan.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, Tobi like steals the Rinnegan from his corpse, and then he gets resurrected.
Yeah, after the fight. No, like not the resurrection. Like he showed him he had the body of it, not the resurrection part. Like he showed him he had the body.
As I said, like it's after that because like Conan like kept his body like elsewhere.
No, I'm talking about the Madara body.
Oh yeah, the Madara body. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, so we were on the same page. And that unfortunate Conan fight, man. She tried.
She tried her best. Izanagi for the win. It's like, choked the life out of this girl. Mm. And also another instance of, hey, this is another Vader ding. He fights a woman and his mask basically gets cracked because of it, but he still manages to pull the dub out.
Mm.
A la Ahsoka.
Interesting. Yeah.
Tenuous ding. And then after that, he gets the Rinnegan. He manages to resurrect the all the dead shinobi, or Kabuto does. Fourth Great Shinobi War happens, and he's like, "All right, time to go get that Nine Tails." And then just pure calamity happens.
Yeah, so kind of with that, we also get the reverse plot armor for the Akatsuki, because they obviously didn't want to pull Naruto's like Nine Tails Fox from him, especially when it was like this point is when he has a lot of really good character development, and we learn that the Nine Tails is actually Kurama. And stuff like that. So they get the Ninetales chakra from the two brothers, which I was like, come on now. Like, this entire time, you've had to pull the entire Jinchuriki tail beast out in order to get it into the statue. And now you can pull a piece of its chakra out.
Same thing with Killer B.
Exactly. It was only like a piece of the tail. This is because I remember I was like, yo, Killer B is right here. How do you have his thing too? But that's where My Hero Academia learned how to keep powering up the villains unnecessarily. he reincarnates the Jinchuriki. That's his six paths of pain, essentially. Fights Naruto in the I Kill Joe Daddy fit at the beginning of the war. He was wearing the exact same fit the day he broke out the Ninetales, which is crazy. So they have that fight, which was a really like good, interesting fight to cover it. And he's again trying to recruit. And then he also learns that Kabuto revealed the truth that he's not the real Madara to both Naruto and Killer B. So he's trying to recruit them to his side. And he's like, yo, you should know more than anybody about grief because you're also a Jinchuriki. So just kind of with that.
And also the fact that I killed your parents. We ain't talking about that part. He conveniently left that part out.
Context doesn't matter when you're a villain, apparently. So yeah,
Gaslight is real.
So they scrap with that, and then essentially I can't remember how that fight ends, because I know Naruto is like the main thing is him trying to pull up to the butt whipping that the real Madara is handing out.
A clone was there. So what happens is like, oh yeah, they're fighting. Kakashi's with the real Naruto. Mm-hmm. And that's when they learn like, oh yeah, they're Sharingan. They have the same Sharingan. So and of course, like they treat that as a reveal, and then it's like, oh yeah, we need to clue in, and they're like Sharingan, same dimension. The mask breaks, and that's when Obito is now fully revealed with again a completely different voice. I'm just saying,
yeah.
He decides like, all right, my mask is off. I don't need to keep on doing the deep modern voice anymore. Now I can just be myself.
No one.
Yeah, I can be myself, which is no one, and that's of course like Kakashi. My guy, they pretty much everybody who knew Obito was like, the heck, man?
Yes.
And that's when he's like, hey, listen, I did all this because you let Ren die. It made me realize that this life is horrid, that everything's gone straight to hell. That's this world needs to be reset. This infinite Tsukuyomi needs to happen so that way we can all be in a world where there's no war, there's own peace, and the dreams that you make it. So that leads to, of course, different fighting shenanigans happen.
Andrew fights.
Oh, yeah. This is different shenanigans. But the Ten Tails, again, pulls up. Madara pulls up. And this leads to perhaps, like, one of the craziest moments. Because before the greatest hand-to-hand fight of all time, Obito, or should I say the Ten Tails, kills Neji.
Yeah.
Yeah. R.I.P. with the stick. And all this time, right, like, Naruto, like, of course, he's dead. Well, Neji's dead. Naruto is, like, of course, his philosophy was, like, hey, no one's going to die on me, and, like, I'm going to stop you. Neji dies, and then you just see Obito. He's basically like, all right, hey, Naruto, what was that you were saying about keeping your friends from dying? Yeah, can you say that again with a straight face to me? Like, he's doing everything in his power to basically break Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with all the death that's happening around him. And Naruto nearly caves in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he nearly, fully breaks until best girl Hinata shows up and literally slaps the sense back into Naruto.
Yeah.
And from there, it's like, oh, dang it. Like... And, of course, you see the disappointment in Obito's head. And that's when Kakashi comes in. They both go to the Kamui dimension. And then they just have one.
Ooh,
one of them wins.
That was incredible. Just like the cinematic fight of it where it went. You know, it's a flashback of a former fight. And it's kind of them, in a sense, reenacting just like on instinct their fight with each other as ninjas. I mean, as like training Chunin or Genin, and you know, at the start of the fight, they do like the hands gesture where it's like, oh, I respect you as an equal. And as that goes through the final part, whereas I think at the end of the fight, where you see the real Obito, well, the current Obito, yank his younger self away, metaphorically, of course, and just like go after Kakashi before being welcomed to the donut club.
Yep, but unlike everybody else, this does not kill Obito because he's like, yeah, I, like, again, this is all that's left of me. I have no heart because of this war. And
I'm working on pure hatred.
Yes, I'm working on pure hatred, gaslighting, and spite.
Yes.
And now my spite is directed towards Madara. So he manages to Kamui himself back out and absorbs the Ten Tails into himself to become the Ten Tails Jinchuriki. And this is very interesting because of the fact, like at this point, the Ten Tails starts trying to fully take control of Obito.
Yep.
In which you see, like, and you see the imagery of, like, the picture of him with Team Minato, and it's all starting to crack away. Like, Kakashi pretty much gets cracked fully away. Minato gets cracked and fully away. Oh yeah, by this point Minato is actually fully back undead, and he manages to nearly kill Obito, and that's when you realize, oh snap, it was you the whole time. Yeah, and then but then as the Ren part starts to go away, that's when he like fully takes back control and is like, all right, bam, now I have full control of the Ten Tails. And again, he's fully spouting his philosophy of like, hey, let's continue to create the infinite Tsukuyomi. He's fighting Naruto and the gang. And finally, this is the part where there's a whole an ideology battle between Naruto and Obito, which ends with a clash between their swords, and Obito's sword breaks. To which leads to perhaps one of the most contrived talk no jutsus of all time. Yes. The whole meme about talk no jutsu pretty much stems from this moment here, at least fully, because of the fact that, like, yeah, he's talking to him, and then, like, you see the imagery of, like, Obito's friends behind him, but then you see all of Naruto's friends behind him, and it's, like, well and much larger. And he's like, hey, come back. like come back and like be the Hokage of the Hidden Leaf. And Obito, like, he again has a flashback, like, or really he imagines like what his life would have been like had he not encountered Madara and returned back home. He's like, oh yeah, I could have been Hokage. I could have been good. So like, all right, so yeah, he comes back to life, he's fully good. And he's like, all right, listen, for my final act, like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to die for this, but I'm going to use the rebirth to revive everyone who's been killed in this war, a la what Pain did.
Yep.
But Mara's like, oh, nah, we ain't having none of that.
We don't play those games around
here. We don't play being soft around here. I spent decades being dead for this. Nah, revive me. Revive me.
Reverse.
So yeah, Madara, like, he's like, oh yeah, you were my puppet, Obito. Revive. And so yeah, he gets fully revived.
So that's like a parallel to Palpatine, where it's just like, yo, you thought I was your guy this entire time, but it's like, nah, you are doing my bidding. Yeah. Because I am the one above all.
I am Himothy. So yeah, and of course, by this point, yeah, Madara then kills both Sasuke and Naruto.
Yeah.
And in a moment of like true redemption, right? Obito manages to, like, he goes and he saves Naruto's life by implanting him with the other half of the Ninetales that's within his body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so yeah, that happens. Of course, like, Madara's whole thing happened. But yeah, so essentially, like, Obito, he's like, well, he's basically back to himself at this point, and he's just fighting. Well, he's fighting against Madara until Madara actually goes full Sage Assist pass and rips the Rinnegan out of his eye.
Jeez.
And then puts like, and then takes the Sharingan out of Kakashi's eye and puts it in him. And then Obito gets controlled by Zetsu.
So like, we again see the parallel with Vader, in a sense where it's like, in one of the biggest moments, he turns against his quote unquote master and is fighting for the side of good. Obviously, like, the Vader almost is like, boom, spur of the moment. Whereas, but you saw like Luke working on him over the course of like at least two movies. And then with Obito, Naruto, like, convincing him having that moment with Kakashi, learning that. So, you know, again, with the fight with this guy, Madara, who was way too overpowered, he was one for all. Before one for all, we then get a literal god that has to kill Madara.
Oh yeah, the biggest what in the world.
yeah
so Kaguya comes in, and of course, like, Obito, like, again, he's fully controlled of himself, he has his full Sharingan, and he uses it to, like, transport between dimensions, because at this point, Naruto, Sasuke, and Kaguya, they're fighting in dimensions now, and Obito has to, like, use his Sharingan to keep teleporting to different places. But at the end of this, right, like, there's a moment where Kaguya shoots basically a one-hit kill move at both Sasuke and Naruto. And Kakashi stands in front of Sasuke to take the hit, and Obito stands in front of Naruto. But then Obito uses his Sharingan to send the attack that's going at Kakashi into the Kami dimension, saving his life. But then he gets hit in the process, and he basically says to Naruto, like, "Hey, it's okay. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna go be with Rin. You just finish this up, you be Hokage."
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, because you're living my dream now too. And then he dies.
Yeah,
another Vader parallel right there, where he dies saving the main character's life.
And then I believe he gives him some of his power with the Sharingan once more again, because that's when Kakashi uses Susanoo, right?
Yeah, so while he's in the after, or he's probably like was in limbo with Rin, and like he's talking with her, and of course, like, he's back to his child self, And he's like, hey, I have so much to tell you, Rin, but I can't right now. Kakashi needs my help. And then he uses the Kamui to teleport himself out of the afterlife.
That's crazy.
Teleport himself out the afterlife, but because, of course, he's dead, but so he has no corporeal form. Instead, he gifts Kakashi temporarily both his Mangekyo Sharingan, which allows Kakashi to go full Susanoo temporarily.
So, yeah, that kind of like wraps up. You see the parallel. Now he finally is the one that saves Kakashi, again, giving him his eyes, and now he's reunited with his loved one. So, man, Toby, like, Obito is, like, one of the most complicated characters in Naruto. I feel like a lot of characters in Naruto are super complicated when you break it down, but, again, doing a parallel with Naruto, whereas with Obito, in his darkest moment, Madara filled that void. When, like, say, if Minato was there for him, he turns out complete. He probably straight dies because, again, they don't have the Hashirama cells. But, you know, he doesn't turn into what he eventually turned into. Whereas with Naruto, he had a Uruka sensei. He had the ramen guy that helped him out, Ichiruku Ramen. And, like, imagine if, I'm trying to think of who would have got to him in the village that would have, like, turned him, because obviously the third Hokage literally turned everyone against him.
Or more like Danzo turned everybody against Naruto.
That's true. So.
And the third Hokage basically did nothing to stop it. So if there was one person who basically screwed Naruto's life up tremendously, it was Danzo. So like when it comes to that, right, I think like you pretty much hit the nail right on the head. It's like, hey, who you are around and like the circumstances of like who you're around ends up actually having a dramatic effect on like whether or not you on, like what path you end up on. Because say Naruto, let's say Danzo did what he did, but he also got to Naruto. Naruto's life would have been on a straight path of darkness. I'm not even gonna lie.
Even the parallel of Naruto and Gaara, and we did a character study of both of them where it's like Gaara's dad tried to assassinate him every night. So just kind of with that, where it's like it really matters who gets to. And I, unless there's anything we specifically want to touch about with Obito, I think we can go into like just the mini deep dive on the series as a whole.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about it. Talk about like, hey, what was the main thing between all three and what's the through line between them?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just that how people process grief and then how we process grief and then who reaches out to us in that grief. Doom is a bit different because like he had his grief and then he just kind of went on his own path, as opposed to a Vader and then a Obito, where they both had people that were kind of slowly manipulating them until they had the breaking point, and then they're like, okay, boom.
I think in the case of Doom, we can make like that argument that, yeah, he had those people, but he chose to reject them.
That's fair.
Yeah, and like the person that was in his ear was his own ego, his own pride, if you want to like make it that.
And that's like important, because if we all focus just on our own personal lives, obviously before we started the pod, both of us weren't in great places. I'm not saying we would have pulled an Eren Yeager and ended the world, but or Death Star. But I mean, like, we weren't in great places. And then I don't even know if grief is the right word, but just like then coming together through what that is and the friendship that we developed through this, the people that we've gotten to meet, the different things. Where it's like, again, you know, it's not what happened to these people, but like with grief, them turning to such like evil acts with it was something that's crazy. And I think something that I also want to take away, because even with a Doom to an extent, is that most people aren't too far gone to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense where it's like most humans, most are like, they don't really believe that they're bad people. It's just that the decisions that I make, here's what I'm presenting, here are the decisions that I make. If you are given the same situation, would you make the same choices? And everyone's environment is different. So it's like when you kind of like reach out to them, with that. We see with Naruto where he's so persistent with it, where it's able to reach Obito. We see with Luke where he's so pure-hearted, he's able to reach his dad and Vader. And then with even with a Doom, we see Reed from time to time, or like a Doctor Strange, like you mentioned, where characters are like, hey, you're so powerful. We acknowledge that there is a greater evil than you, and to your extent, you wouldn't want the world to end. So let's work together.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like that's a testament to the human condition and just how we can, yeah, I think like perhaps the biggest takeaway for me, things may not go necessarily as well as you think it might or where you want it to in life. But at the same time, though, you like the environment that you're in, who you choose to be around matters, who you congregate around matters. And also just like that, it's like it's your willingness to want to change matters, too.
Yes.
Because unless you want to be like Doom, where you wholeheartedly reject that, reject the goodness in you, you can be a vape, Darth Obito.
So that's actually interesting that you put it, because like with Doom, where I was trying to compare that, I feel like Doom is the most quote unquote evil in a sense, yeah. In terms of these are the decisions that I'm making because I am so great. This is the world that I personally envision without anyone outside of myself in my ear, where peace will be achieved because of me. Whereas with the other two, it's like, hey, I was actually really pure-hearted and I just got broken down in life. And we see that so many times in life, which is like truly sad to have.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's partially even because of that, and because like the people who can remind you of who you are before can certainly have a part in helping you remember / realize that part of you.
That's a good point, because with Doom, we don't really see someone in his life when he's still like, you know, that knows him as good in a sense.
Well, he had his girlfriend, but
yeah, as you mentioned, sacrifices needed to be made.
Yes, but he took her out expeditiously.
So it even showed like how much he really didn't care about.
Oh yeah, nah. The only person he loved was his mama and himself.
That's not it. All right. So I think with that, we're wrapping up our mass character series. Obviously, again, listeners, you can check that out. We did Doctor Doom, a very interesting one. Darth Vader with a special guest. And then now we're wrapping up with Obito Uchiha. Next week, we are doing Gladiator 2 movie review. We may or may not have a guest for that. So definitely looking forward to that. So let's get into our What's Hot.
All right. So in the realm of anime, right, Blue Lock is out here. Finally locking in with the U-20. We also got Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, My Glorious King.
It's time.
My Glorious King, he's back.
I can't remember if it's going to be this season or if it's going to be the next season, but I need the glow up from our blue-haired captain. The Ice Prince himself.
Now what I need is a welcome to my soul society. I need it.
Boy, I need the other bog. It's about to get crazy. That's what I need.
You know, it's about to get dummy. But speaking of going dummy, Dragon Ball Daima, this newest episode, it was an embarrassment for everybody that's not named Goku. Like, you know, there was a statement that's out there. It was like, yeah, when Goku realizes he's stronger than you, he's the most disrespectful person on this planet. I believe it. I'm a believer now.
Him and Vegeta, yeah.
Because what he does in this episode, deplorable. Also, Dandadan, good heavens.
Yes.
Why? And then One Piece, again, is fully on break. So yeah, good luck. And then now, as for TV, let's talk about it. Penguin.
Oh.
I need Bruce Wayne to come up and give Oswald like a 20-piece.
See,
broken kneecaps.
See, I thought what happened to the person would happen. I did not think that the person that did it would be the one to do it to them.
Uh-huh.
And, oh my gosh, just the way it was framed, you're like, okay, we made it. We're good. And then the writers were like, the Penguin is a villain.
It's like,
you
look,
need to remember that.
Yeah. And then, but also, don't forget what happened to his, you know.
Yeah, that was...
Say,
The writing of those last two episodes was crazy because the framing of it, where it's like he was always like, man, the city it took my brothers.
The city took my brothers. And we were wrong. See, for me, I had a feeling, right? It was going to be like gangsters, or like he had a small part to play. No, he had a big part to play.
He was the part. Dude, I hated the kid more than I hated the older one until what happened at the end happened. I was like, this kid is a sociopath.
Ma. Ma. I'm like, nah, keep stabbing.
You wonder what happened with the rumbling that happened to the kids?
Hey, yo. Nah. You wild for that one. You wild. Oh, nah.
Man, I hate us. I hope he gets dropped off a building.
Look, all I say is the Batman 2, I'm desperate. I am pleading.
People, if he gets beat up in the Batman 2, will be shouting in the theater.
And then for those who don't know why people are shouting why he beat him, all we gonna say is, watch Penguin,
please.
Beep, 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 beep.
So someone played a clip from, like, I think it's Arkham City when Batman is whooping the Penguin, and it was like, this needs to happen in the movie.
You know, I need to replay Arkham just for that. You know what? Gave me a good reason to re-download it. All right.
What else?
But speaking of download, gaming wise, Sparking Zero. Come on, man. We still out here. And then MK1 drops their Ghostface trailer. And all I'm going to say about this is, Ghostface, you are severely outmatched. you are outmatched, because there's like an intro where, you know, like after you break, one character attacks the other and then like they get into a fighting stance. No. What happens to Ghostface is the character attacks, he gets knocked down, and then like he lifts himself back up, like holding the side of his. So I was like, dang, I got hit straight in my chest. What in the world? And you're just like, nah, Ghostface, you're cooked.
Like, you think literal god.
Yes, you're fighting literally a god of time. You're fighting Omni-Man. What you think a butter knife gonna do? Nah, you cooked. Also, COD 6, Black Ops 6. I haven't gotten it yet, or I haven't gotten to it yet, but all I know is zombies. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. And yeah, that's pretty much all that was on my radar. Right. Of course, Venom War's ending, so yeah.
So with that, video games Dragon Age the Veilguard dropped. I downloaded it. I was waiting to just like get some stuff off my plate. I'm finally going to play it this weekend. Looking forward to that. With trailers, we got screwed. I truly believe that Disney hates us. So we finished recording, and then literally the Captain America trailer and then the Thunderbolts trailer drops like the day after we finished recording. That Captain America trailer, again, they should have kept it New World Order. Maybe, I think, with NWO, there might have been some issues with that, like the old wrestling crew. But with that, man, that trailer looks so good. Just the way they framed it, it felt like a spy thriller. And I really love how they're getting back to giving certain characters their own personality and own movies. So that was super interesting.
Yeah, like their own genre.
Exactly. And then the Thunderbolts, it was mostly the same trailer, just a little bit like stuff added in and there. So that'll definitely be a fun, quirky thing. I want to see who directed that, but I feel like Thunderbolts is something that if James Gunn had, he would have so much fun with it. But yeah, two movies we're looking forward to. So those trailers drop. As of the day we're recording this, the Cobra Kai Part 2 finale dropped. So I will be checking that out this weekend, along with Arcane Part 1, Part 2 of Season 2, which is the final season of Arcane. Definitely looking into that. And then just with movies, Overlord, The Sacred Kingdom, Heretic, something I'm going to check out this week.
Gladiator.
Yes.
Oh, I got to tell you about Heretic.
Oh, I'm watching it Tuesday. Is it that good?
It's so cerebral.
Okay.
You're gonna be questioning a lot.
I'm checking out Heretic this week, so I will let you know the moment I watch it. So then also Gladiator 2 and then Wicked comes out. And then also something big. I know we didn't really love the second movie, but Dune Prophecy, the TV series, is dropping as of tomorrow of this recording. So that's something to check out on Max.
Interesting.
I mean, Dune 2 made as close to a billion, or it made over a billion, so.
Of course.
All right, so that's it. So we can get into our plugs and get up out of here. Again, just a reminder, we will be doing the Gladiator 2 movie review next week.
All right, so for our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter and Threads, we're under BlurredCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date for all notifications and scheduling. We also have our Instagram linked in the... No, our Discord linked in the Instagram page. That's where, if you want to join this five community degenerates, go ahead and click that link. We also have our YouTube and Patreon under Blur City Pod. If you want to donate some extra cheddar, you can get access to very exclusive episodes not before seen. We also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. If you want to send like episode suggestions, geek out, freak outs, and all the like. And if you want to send spam mail or send hate mail, it goes right to the spam folder, never to see light of day. And then finally, I am the Jedi Born on Mustafar on TikTok, however long we got TikTok left, because as of certain days, let's just say it already got, it's already getting banned in Canada. So yeah, good luck.
Ooh.
And that's all I got.
All right, for my individual author pages, we got my Instagram, metri_dash, that is METRI_DASH. From my ex, I might get rid of X, I'm not going to lie to you, / Twitter, that's @TheMadDash16, the look you're giving me. And then if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, A Most Regular Tale, that's available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So with that, we can get into our words of encouragement.
Yeah, for my words of encouragement is that, A, if you're in like distress or pain or you go through different trauma, don't hide behind a mask. Because if you're hiding behind a mask, you're not really dealing with the pain itself. You're merely bottling it up, and it's going to cause untold havoc in the long term.
For my words of encouragement, this goes to those around people wearing masks. It's not always too late to reach out to them. As we covered in the previous two, it's that some people just need someone to be in an ear that can listen to them, a hand to hold, someone to just like hug them, or just hang out and just sit with them. So with that, that small gesture can turn them from a path that leads to destruction. So with that, like we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. This is Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.